So, having now pondered the toolkits for both capital gains tax on land and buildings, and also that for marginal smalls company relief, we come to a somewhat more intriguing toolkit, that for private and personal expenditure. I say more intriguing simply because the first two clearly had a direct link to the taxes they were concerned with. The correct year and size of a chargeable gain for the first, and the correct level of corporation tax for the second. This toolkit, however, is different, as we'll see the reason that it requires the advisor to adopt a much more investigative approach than might normally be the case. In fact, reading the 25 risk-based questions on the checklist, I was almost transported back to my days as an investigating inspector at the Inland Revenue. I could almost hear myself once again asking business owners these questions, while their advisors looked on. Now, of course, and if you choose to use the toolkit, you too can be an inspector for the day. I can sense your excited anticipation already. So, on first read of this toolkit, what jumps out? Well, like the others, we get the record keeping and reasonable care health warnings early on. But then, we're told HMRC are concerned with the number of cases they see where personal bills are put through as business expenses, where travel and subsistence is wrongly dealt with, and where entertaining, gifts, subscription and sponsorship are not properly identified to be able to be added back. The toolkit then says that HMRC also see cases where drawings, and therefore capital accounts, do not accurately reflect the real position. As I said earlier, ladies and gentlemen, this toolkit really is where HMRC anticipate you undertaking some investigation work for them. In all, HMRC identify 25 risk areas that advisors should be encouraged to consider if they are using this toolkit. I won't look at all 25, as some are simple and fairly standard. For example, have profits been adjusted appropriately for any entertaining expenses paid? With the obvious answer being yes, and these expenses have been added back to profits as inadmissible. What I would like to do, though, is to look at some of the more contentious or intrusive risk-based questions, so that you can follow them when you look at the actual toolkit document. I'll retain the same numbers for this podcast. So, what do I consider the more contentious questions and why? I'll read the questions first and then read them again with my thoughts. Question 2. Have any personal expenses paid by credit card been allocated to drawings? Question 6. Have any personal or household bills paid by the business been analysed and allocated appropriately? Question 11. Are all expenses claimed for business trips wholly and exclusively for business purposes? Question 12. If a family member accompanied the proprietor or partner on a business trip, have any associated non-business costs been disallowed? Question 13. Are all expenses claimed for meals and subsistence wholly and exclusively for business purposes? Question 17. Have any sponsorship payments made, particularly to connected parties, been reviewed? Question 20. If there have been wages or salaries paid to relatives or connected parties, are the amounts paid commensurate with their duties? Question 23. Has an appropriate adjustment been made for services provided to the proprietor or partner by the business? So, Looking at what I believe are the more contentious questions for an advisor to pursue with a client, let's look at those questions again, taking also HMRC's further comments within the toolkit. So, question 2 asks, have any personal expenses paid by credit card been allocated to drawings? HMRC say that as personal credit cards are sometimes used for both personal and business expenses, advisors should be reviewing closely all such spending to pull out the private element and to post that amount to the drawings account. Of course, that treatment is correct, and I, nor anyone else, would suggest otherwise. But what about those cases where it is not clear if or where both business and personal expenditure goes together? HMRC's clear implication is that people have been doing this aspect wrong, either innocently or less so. But are we now to adopt a more investigative approach ourselves, rather than simply relying on our clients, recording and identifying their expenses correctly? HMRC seem to think that we should be more investigative as practitioners. So, let's look at question 6. Question 6 says, have any personal or household bills paid by the business been analysed and allocated appropriately? Again, this has a similar ring to question 2 earlier. Basically, has the proprietor, innocently or otherwise, recorded expenditure in such a way that inadmissible personal expenditure is being claimed for a deduction? Interestingly, in HMRC's narrative on the risk, they cite some relatively uncommon examples, but then refer advisors to the Business Income Manual for more help and advice. I've beaten the drum before, but at the very least, HMRC's manuals should be used in conjunction with the relevant legislation. But back to the toolkit. And again, like question 2 earlier, if a client says he or she believes they have correctly recorded all of their expenditure, including utilities, etc., at what point do we begin active investigation of each and every record entry as part of our accounts and return preparation? To investigate every entry is beyond doubt is unreasonable, I would suggest. The HMRC toolkit approach would suggest every case should be reviewed every time. So, let's move on to question 11, which says, are all expenses claimed for business trips wholly and exclusively for business purposes? The suspicion has to be that HMRC has experience of holidays or jollies being put through as legitimate expenses. I know as an inspector, and now in the profession assisting people with such issues, that I have seen this more than once. What the toolkit does highlight, though, is the investigative or challenging thought process that an agent is encouraged to adopt to satisfy the toolkit risk. In many cases, this is not clear-cut, and again, whether in reality this is a somewhat unrealistic or unfair conclusion, placing the onus on the advisor remains to be seen. Now, question 12. If a family member accompanied the proprietor or partner on business trips, have any associated non-business costs been disallowed? This articulates a pretty simple tax rule. If the proprietor's other half attends a business trip and that other half has no business reason to be on the trip, then the cost isn't allowable. But I wanted to include it as an extension of the earlier question 11, to draw attention to an apparent close scrutiny that HMRC expect of any business trips. And then again, if we want to adopt the toolkit approach, it's left up to us to pin down the proprietor and to establish what any trips were about and in what capacity any family members attended. As I said, welcome to your new job as a tax inspector. So I mentioned question 13 earlier on, and to remind you, it says, are all expenses claimed for meals and subsistence wholly and exclusively for business purposes? The topic of whether what we would recognise as subsistence costs is a complicated one. HMRC even acknowledge that in the toolkit and then direct us to the business income manual once again. Whilst the inherent complexity of itself is a problem for advisors when possibly considering this risk, take a moment if you can just to read HMRC's comments on their toolkit relating to this risk. You will see, I would suggest, a judgmental and subjective process for deciding, and as an ex-inspector, the opportunity to argue that none or little should be allowed is clear. A complicated area that may require delicate client conversations. Moving on, question 17 asked, have any sponsorship payments made, particularly to connected parties, been reviewed? Like so many of the earlier risk questions that I think are more contentious, this one also stands out due to the connected party aspect. Again, HMRC must have seen a number of cases where businesses have tried to fund certain personal or family projects under the guise of sponsorship. The guidance given by HMRC to this risk is perhaps the most comprehensive and investigative within the toolkit, really expecting us as advisors to have undertaken a very proactive, in-depth consideration, including a full analysis of this complex technical area. Please read the guidance for any clients who make sponsorship payments to see exactly what HMRC expect us to do as our clients' advisors. Question 20. Now, question 20 says, if there have been wages or salaries paid to relatives or connected parties, are the amounts paid commensurate with their duties? So, basically, is the relative getting the market rate for the job or above that? Are they being excessively paid because they are a relative of the proprietor? Interestingly here, the toolkit wording implies there will often be an above market element to such arrangements. Rather than the other toolkit risks, even the earlier contentious ones, a balanced gathering of the facts by the advisor to consider the matter before judgment is the advocated approach, and yet, surprisingly, this is much less so for this risk. The personal and private expenditure toolkit is, conceptually, probably the standalone toolkit of the four, simply as it moves away from a technically led consideration into a much more judgmental, investigative, and as a result, personal consideration. As I said earlier, for those of you wishing to be an inspector for the day, then following the personal and private expenditure toolkit will provide that opportunity.